Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show. Entertaining land investment talk.
Why are you talking like that?
Just being a hippie for a second.
Oh.
I'm Steve and Jack Butala.
Oh, I didn't know we were like, what are we doing here? And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny, smooth jazz, Southern California.
There's nothing sunny about California today.
No, it's not.
In fact, it's true. On, almost literally on fire. On record.
Well, did you see the
state?
Oh, well, not just us, it's the whole West Coast.
Yeah.
I was looking all the way up to
Oregon.
Washington, parts of, Oregon, parts of Idaho. It's
like the world's ending.
I know.
I half expect to see zombies around the corner.
It's really, really, really weird. Oh my gosh. And by the way, to make it even worse, our humidity here, which is never, I don't think I've ever seen it, it's 96%. So if you're watching this on YouTube, and you could probably literally see my hair getting frizzier by the moment.
You know, Jill, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Exactly.
You know, men don't even know any of this
stuff. Can you imagine? I'm going to put a baseball hat on, and I'm going to put my hair in a ponytail in about 5 minutes. It's like, what the heck?
So. You know, when I was younger, I used to think 100% humidity was water. It's not.
Or rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with that.
It's hilarious.
Today, Jill and I talk about Land Business 301. You're a specialized pro. This is where I start to have a lot of fun. At any company, at any, in stage, when you've left stage two, these land business things that came up with this week, the 301, 401, this is not specific to the land business at all. It's all businesses have cycles, every single one.
This is also the point where he gets interested in children. Babies, not so much. Toddlers, no way.
That's true.
Uh-huh. It's not until the third phase when they're ding-dongs and they're on their way out the door.
Before they're teenage ding-dongs.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. This is when they have
and they
kids.
Can't get out. They can't wake up.
They don't need anything. They tell you, yeah, I'd rather really have had chicken today.
Now, you like this. This one's fun for you. Mm-hmm. You like this, like, yeah, Dad, I do want to go on the boat.
Yep.
Yeah, Dad, I do want to do this with you. This part.
Or let's light something on fire.
Yeah, Dad, that's a great. Yeah, Dad said this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. No.
Like between 7 and 15, 14.
Uh-huh. Exactly. This is your favorite age. And you are Superman in their eyes.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, from probably two of those years. I think, okay. Till sixth grade.
Okay.
It's just fun. It's fun to do stupid stuff. Like, mm-hmm. The reason you have children is to see their reactions to doing stuff the first time. Like, when they're little, they eat a french fry for the first time. I remember.
Is that
the
why we have children?
Kids buy a french fry for the first time. It's like, their world is just the greatest for those few minutes is like, these are french fries.
I forgot. Why did we have children?
Or playing, playing catch for baseball and stuff.
It was peer pressure for
and
me.
Sports.
Just kidding.
Yeah, one of the real benefits of getting old is you can just say the truth about everything.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah. I'm sure the people around us with little kids don't like it. We're like, your turn. See ya.
I zip it. I don't even talk to people with little tiny kids now. No, it's like, I'm afraid of that. Aww. Afraid of that.
Oh, it's good.
Today, Jill and I talk about, I already said this.
He did.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Is this really her name?
Yeah.
Okay. Gigi wrote, hello. I have been following the Land Academy podcast for a while, and I'm wondering if anyone does buying and selling in the Northeast U.S., like Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island. I would like to see if I can do the Northeast because I'm a registered civil PE engineer. Civil physical engineer, I guess?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm not sure either, Jill.
And I run my own civil engineering company, and I'm very familiar with these states. Both about regulations and subsurface.
Oh, you're perfectly set up for this.
I remember either in one of the PDFs or the videos, it says that the Northeast is not recommended. So I wondered if anybody from Land Academy ventured out there. Thanks, Gigi.
I can't imagine why or how either one of us could have ever said that the Northeast is not good to do this.
Right.
That didn't come out of our mouths or anyone from this organization. I'm extremely confident. So
maybe it was New York one time. We may have made New York because
yeah,
of the...
And that's not true anymore. Right. It's a lawyer thing.
Exactly. Now we don't care. Yeah.
I had a very detailed conversation with a person, the senior manager of all of our companies. Like, we have one person at the top that runs all of our companies that don't buy and sell land or real estate. Jill runs those companies, about this topic. And she said, there is a rumor that's just circulating around this company. Mm-hmm. This is a word she used, rumor, that this only works in the Southwest because you guys talk about it so much.
That's so interesting.
That really, really, really miffs me.
So not true.
So I would like to dispel that.
I'm buying heavily in the Southeast right now. So, and I would happily, you know, we talked about Michigan property.
Everybody, this is a very hot topic in land investors. So a lot of people popped in and they all said what I'm about to say.
Okay.
This works everywhere. In every single county and parish, every single one in this country, there are some huge differences in buying property in the Northeast versus the Southwest. And they're all good. Well, for instance, there's fewer properties in Vermont to actually purchase. Obviously, it's a smaller state. And the way that it was subdivided was kind of like as you went subdivision, the state grew up with the real estate rules, like the country and the state grew up at the same time with real estate rules. So. And the topography is weird and it freezes. So there's a lot of differences, but it's very, very, very profitable to buy these properties. Are you going to buy them for $100 an acre in, let's say, Vermont? No. And I think that's where the confusion comes. I think there's a huge amount of people that would love to buy a property for $500 for some reason and sell it for $1,200. And I founded the company on those numbers. Mm-hmm. So that's not the play there. The play is getting property that someone wants to retire from, let's say, New York City or something like that, or not retire, but just have a second home or whatever. Vermont's very attractive. Vermont and New Hampshire, albeit extremely different states politically, and the only thing they have in common actually is the fact that they're adjacent to each other, are fantastic places to do this. Are you going to buy them for $100 an acre? No. Is Maine different than Vermont? Completely. I bought a ton of 40-acre properties in Maine one time and did really, really, really well. So I'm intentionally going slow here and not laughing and horsing around with Jill because I need to send this message that you can do this in any county.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like you just brought up those numbers. I'm buying right now at $1,000 an acre because you can sell them for $3,000 to $4,000 an acre. That's great numbers.
Exactly. Yes, you can do this in the Northeast. You can do it in the Southeast. Jill's buying a whole portfolio in the Southeast right now. You can do this in Florida. You know, I think this comes from I don't like Florida. I don't like it. And so I think there's a much like
it's
50
a
reasons.
It's a deep-seated childhood. It's nothing about any of, has nothing to do with our land business at all.
And in case,
it's just don't like it. And that's okay.
Noticed, in case you haven't noticed, we're very opinionated on this show, you know? It's our show. So it doesn't mean, hordes of people in our group are making tons of money buying and selling land in Florida. Talk about a lot of property to buy. Jeez.
Here's a good one. I love living, and I'm born and raised in Southern California. I love living in Southern California. Am I really aggressively trying to buy land in Southern California? No.
No.
I could do much better in other places.
Yes. And there's, you know, we're right. Spread out all over the country right now. So if we say we don't like Florida, it's not because it's not a great place to make money.
Right.
By the way, waterfront property is never going to go out of style. There's nothing but water in Florida that's exactly. Not frozen water. So
it's great.
I should be more clear about this.
Thank you for sharing.
Today's topic, Land Business 301. You're a specialized pro. This is the meat of the show.
It's so funny.
I had to... For some reason, I had to be on YouTube yesterday. I didn't tell you this.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And I was in the back end of it, into our channel, because we're doing some stuff on eBay again, and we're doing videos. So I was in the back end, and I could see all the Land Academy show, like, in a spreadsheet form, and it's a new interface from the last time I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see the comments on how many comments there were on each show. each episode and how many thumbs up and thumbs down there are as a percentage. And I'm like, what? I didn't know how much activity there was.
Oh,
comments
really?
Wise and thumbs up and thumbs down. And I lost a good half hour sifting through that stuff yesterday. Just really chuckling.
Any fun takeaways? Anything you want to share?
Well, there's a few fun stuff. Okay. We did a show a while ago called You Either Love or Hate Your Mask.
Oh. I forgot.
I like you, don't remember the shows we did last week.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of people that had a lot of stuff to say about that.
Ruh-roh.
Pretty much the sentiment was, how about you guys just stick to what you know?
That's funny. Let's just keep your personal stuff out of this, shall we? That's pretty funny.
There's a couple in there. There's one show.
That's really funny.
You know, and I hope you take this the right way. Somebody said,
oh no.
Jill, can you just let Steve talk? He's actually talking about real estate.
And then
the flip side was true. Somebody said to me, like, why don't you just let her talk? Like, I guess we overtalk each other.
Never.
Anyway, if you want to kill her,
like just right now,
put your thick skin suit on and go into the back of our channel one day and just spend, you know, I don't know. Don't get lost in there. Jill gets upset sometimes. Not upset, but she takes it a little bit more to heart about what people have comments on.
It's probably better if I don't.
And
look.
You know what's interesting? It's only YouTube. So if you go look at where all our podcast is posted everywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all of it, iHeartRadio. It's nothing but positive stuff.
Interesting.
So they don't like how we look. That's what I've determined. They just want to hear us.
Wait. Oh, I heard say, okay, the people on YouTube who can see us have a lot to say.
Yes.
Okay.
There's something about that channel. No, I'm just kidding around. There's something about YouTube that people just let it rip.
It's like Reddit.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
It's just an opinion.
Is Reddit even still around?
Oh,
I think it is. But I mean, totally I know it's around because I was looking the other day. I was Googled us on something and I was looking at something and we popped up there. I'm like, well, that's interesting. But I never hear anybody talking about it anymore. I'm going to drop that in a dinner party. I'm going to say that sometime. Like, I don't know. But my number one source is Reddit. And here's why.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Can you make sure I'm close by when you do
that? Yeah, I want to do that.
I'll film it.
Our friends would be like, what the heck?
Or MySpace or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Okay.
All right, so.
Back to this. Land Business 301. Do you want me to go first? I'm going to give you a couple quick things and get the ball rolling.
Sounds good.
All right. You're a specialized pro. 301. You're in it now. You're in your junior year of college. Congratulations. You are now taking classes and doing things that apply to your major, and you are looking toward the next level. So by now, you either have a niche or are testing niches or are, you know, looking at niches because something has sung to you, whether it's a certain product type, whether it's the way you buy and sell, whether it's like through a broker, you know, that kind of transaction, maybe going through escrow, maybe it's a dollar amount. You probably figured out some groove here, I think. Also by this level, your 300 level, you've got a team and it might just be two of you, you know, or it might be you and a VA, or it might be you and a bunch of VAs. It might be you and Pat Live and you and someone who posts things, something like that. If you're doing volume here, I expect you've got a team, something in place helping you doing this. You probably have quit your job. Or you're about to hit the button. You're about to send in your 2 weeks notice. This is what I think. And I think that you're looking at, I think you probably have quit your job at this level. It's really where I'm at, I think. And you're looking at expanding now too. Take it away.
I think that you have figured this out and you are yesterday, my big point was budget to actual. You're consistently hitting budget to actual now, and you're pushing the limits of it to the point where now you either have that all critical first employee, that first full-time W-2 employee, or you're really thinking about getting that person in. And that employee is either an assistant to you to go and do all the stuff that you don't want to do, and that's a very personal decision, or you need an acquisition assistant or a sales assistant or something like that. Or you have a team of, you're comfortable running a team of VAs from the Philippines, which many, many, many of our members do. If you have questions about that, please go on Land Investors. They'll point you in the right direction. We have a specific group of people in the Philippines that are really in tune with the land business. We put them in business, Jill and I, literally. And so they know, if you say, hey, I need you to answer my phone, they have a product for that. It's not like some other company where you have to teach them how to do it or work, educate them. So now you should be saying to yourself sentences like, I know how to make 100 grand a month. How do I make a million? Or I love the Adirondacks. I need to expand into Florida. Florida's my second favorite market for these reasons. Confidence, you don't even think about it anymore. And how to get stuff done from a calendar standpoint and a timing standpoint and an organization standpoint and your workspace and your LLC and all of that is all done. You now are like planning for your retirement. This is going to be your business. This is your business and you're going to plan for it. And you need to really, really start to expand your business into houses and into other types of land niches, which I mentioned yesterday, and get super serious about it. Or you can do it again, like this guy in our group that just does one deal a month, makes 100 grand on it, make sure he does it. Does a ton of work up front, looks at a ton of deals, and that's all he wants to do, make $1 million a year. Whatever it is, you really are leaning back in your chair saying, I get it. I get what these people are about. You should be thinking things like this. It takes me about 45 minutes to an hour to scrub data out of DataTree, or I need to write myself a macro or hire somebody on Fiverr or wherever you hire people to do specific projects like this, Upwork, to make that job easier for yourself, or outsource it. There's that in the programs, in both Land Academy and House Academy program, there's an org chart that I have for this level in your business. And you should be at the tip top of the org chart, making the decisions about where to send mail. You should be primarily making two decisions in the entire process. Where to send mail and how to price it, that's one. And two, then everybody goes to work and then the deals go into a CRM and they're ready for you to decide whether or not to do the deal. So you prep the pricing and the counties or zip codes that you send mail in, number one, and then down the chart, should I do the deal, yes or no? Yes, at this price, no, I don't want to do the deal at all, it doesn't have access or whatever. And that's it. You should be working on your business, not in your business any longer.
I was talking to somebody about this recently too. You brought up a good point where we're talking about, he was thinking about ways to pick new counties. And I was talking about the equity planner, indirectly talking about the equity. I didn't bring it up actually. I'm like, but I said, make yourself a chart. And instead of you sitting down, you know, and picking these areas, you can hire out people separately to fill in the blanks. Like, you know, how many properties are available? What's the average price per acre? What's the days on market? You know, well, a lot of the stuff you download, you show how to do it directly from a realtor. But if you want to do it in, you know, just land specific and things like that, there's just a lot of little things that you can, like you just said, outsource, make your life easier, and you're, because your time's valuable.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm trying to think, what's the most important thing right now? I'm a specialized pro.
You should be thinking in terms of efficiency.
That's it. And your time is so valuable.
Yeah.
You're now at the point where you might churn down deals because they're too small for you anymore.
Yeah.
Or I don't buy those $100 things anymore. That's great. It's, oh, God. They're like, I'll give it to you. You're like, I don't want it.
I hate Florida. I know. I can make tons of money in Florida. I get it. Every test that I run says Florida is an awesome place to buy and sell land. I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying it as an example. And then I look it in the mirror and say, you know what? I don't like Florida.
Yeah. I don't connect with those people. Who cares what it is? It could be something I don't understand them. I'm from New York and the way they talk, or I'm from here and they go so fast. It could even be little things like that.
Yeah.
And who doesn't really matter? Or every family vacation there sucked. That's fine too. You know? And you you know that there's plenty of other counties in the country, and you can lovingly say, you guys can have that. That's what I do often. I'm like, I'm, you know, it's so funny on our Thursday calls, you know, people are bringing up areas and counties and things that we'd never heard of. And I'm looking at these numbers. I'm like, good for you. I'm not going to race over there and do that. I got my own stuff going on over here. You know, I'm really proud that you have this going on over there.
Somebody told me professionally, said, I had this conversation a lot of years ago. I was in the long-term care business. And the guy said, it was way my senior. It was Bill Allen, actually.
Way my senior.
Way my senior on the food chain and from an age standpoint. And he said, all businesses, all of them, always turn into something else. So let's say you bought and sold a piece of property and it was an accident. There were two adjacent properties and one of them had a pad for a formal mobile home on it. And you decide to put a mobile home on there and you sell it for 10 times more than you paid. This is a true story, our true story. Maybe that launches you into this full-blown career as a specialized pro into putting mobile homes on, you know, former mobile home property. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't have to start over. You know, we're in the 301 episode of this week. We're buying and selling mobile home pads and putting stuff on there right now. I didn't start at 101. I started at 501 because I already know all this stuff. So it just became a thing for me. I skipped all the phases and went straight to 5. I'm in this business because I have all the money. I have Joe. We have a CRM set up. We have employees all set up. You'd be crazy, crazy not to take advantage of the infrastructure that you set up and the That's knowledge true. That you've learned and just take it to the next step and whatever else makes sense.
It's true.
It's economies of scale and efficiency. So you need to be thinking in efficiency. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works for, well...
Were you going to say girls?
No, I was going to say people who aren't accountants is what I was going to say.
Well, that would be me too.
I constantly catch myself. Accountants and engineers have similar mental health issues. Like everything's efficient. It's, you know, it's like Jill's nightmare. Everything's got to be efficient. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You guys never clean the surface of any surface in any kitchen that you've ever been in. And that's the efficiency, you know.
But. I'm not arguing with anything at all right now. I'm just letting you run.
So when I say special, you know, the title of this is you're a specialized pro. Yeah, you're a specialized pro at not only buying and selling land, you're a specialized pro at running a business and growing a business from nothing. That says a lot. You'd be nuts not to expand, especially if you're super young.
That's true.
Expand the hell out of that.
That's really true.
And I'm not talking about buying a restaurant. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about data-based mailers that generate a different product.
Or even something in the business that you're really good at that you could help other people do better.
Maybe in a crazy twist of events, we have one member, I don't know if they're with us anymore, who came into this as a licensed real estate agent, did a bunch of mailers, started doing deals, and realized that she could get listings this way. Mm-hmm. So that's how she gets listings for land and houses and stuff. Now that's what she does. Mm-hmm. She doesn't buy it. That's just where her soul is, and she's killing it with that data driven skill that they learned at Atlanta Academy.
Isn't that funny? Like we have people too that have come in from, they found us, like we have had timber people that found us because mm-hmm. it's a better way to buy timber. So they do some flipping, but it's really all about the timber. Yep. That's their primary goal. They're like, now I know how to buy timber and the land that's on that much cheaper and better and faster.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason they're here.
If you really deconstruct all this, what this is, so in any real estate or in private equity or buying and selling companies, it's critical to have deal flow. It's your lifeline, it's step one for everything. So what this really is, this mailer concept that I came up with a lot of years ago, is ensuring your deal flow. It's taking brokers and stuff that have all kinds of motivation for the reason they're going to send you a deal out of the picture. It purifies deal flow. And so you can apply that to buying self-storage. We have a husband and wife on the East Coast that buy self-storage. That's all they do is self-storage now. And they learn by buying land. So it's exciting. I love stage 3.
Me too. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Land Business 401. Surprise, surprise. Your staff's in place. And now, you don't spend your own money anymore. Your partners are going to fund your acquisitions. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This is fun. It's fun. The latter stages of anything are fun.
It's always fun because the hard work's over.
Yeah, the success.
The pain, the suffering, the crying, the late nights, the no sleep, the sleeping under your desk.
That just rolled off your tongue.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Two desks, you know, where you flip your chair around. Been there, done that. Lived it, breathed it. This office, that office. What are we doing today? Sorry, yes.
You know what stage four is awesome for?
What?
If you wake up once in a while, I'm not going to work today.
Oh, that is kind of nice. Yeah, stage four or stage five? You can start doing that in stage four.
You can start doing it.
Yeah.
You got to make sure it doesn't affect your revenue, though.
Exactly. I know that's one of your favorite things about our level. This is true. Two time. Here's Jack on a Monday at 10 a.m. No work's getting done today. I'm like, done, fine.
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah,
real
like, I'm
hard
gonna
to
argue.
Convince Jill.
Exactly. I'm like, I knew you were going to say that. I'm getting ready where we're going for lunch. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we do appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us create the type of content that you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest on future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.